Hi everyone! Welcome back to Girlwise Season 2. Ah! Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And after many months of very intense work, it's finally here. Season 2 of the podcast. I am so excited for you guys to listen to all of the episodes, and I really hope that you guys enjoy them because I have really tried to pack as much girl wisdom as I possibly could into these episodes. So without further ado, here is season 2.
Girlwise is a safe space to learn and discuss all kinds of topics through anecdotes and evidence-based research. I'm your host, Brenna Nicole, and welcome to Girlwise.
Now that I have surpassed the age of 25 and have come into consciousness, as they say, I look back and don't even understand how I survived without my brain being fully developed all those years. I see things much more clearly now. It's like I didn't understand what was happening until, at the age of 25, things began to make sense. I've seen many videos of girls saying that they feel like a 20-something-year-old teenager, but I think for the first time in my life, I actually mentally feel the age that I physically am. Now, with this newfound conscious wisdom, there are many things that I have reflected upon that I am appalled by, and one of those things is how much peer pressure played a role in my teenage years, even though I thought that I was sure it wasn't happening. So today, I will share some anecdotes and get into the nitty-gritty of peer pressure.
Before we get into the episode, I wanted to give a disclaimer to ensure that listeners understand the limitations of the advice given on this podcast. I am not a professional or an expert on the topics being discussed. While I'll do my best to direct you in what I think is the right direction, it's always best to consult a qualified professional when seeking advice on a particular issue. You have agency and should make appropriate decisions based on the context. All references and works cited are listed in the show notes and on girlwisepodcast.com, so you can check out where I'm getting my information from. Thank you, and enjoy the episode.
So, I'm actually going to start a new tiny little segment for the podcast called Words of Girl Wisdom. And it's just a small little nidbit of advice so that you too can be as girl-wise as possible. Today's word of advice is to stand up for yourself because no one will have your back like you will. You deserve to be respected. Now, on to the episode. In episode 14 of last season, I promised an entire episode on peer pressure, so here it is. Before we get any further, let's begin by defining what peer pressure is. Peer pressure is the process of being influenced in a group to engage in a behavior or activity that you may not otherwise engage in. Peers in this scenario refers to any individual who belongs to the same social circle as you and has some sort of influence on you. Coming into consciousness refers to your brain becoming fully developed. Teenagers' brains are different from kids and adults, as this is the transition between dependence and immaturity to relative independence and maturity. I'm unsure what it is about being a young girl specifically that makes us so prone to peer pressure. I didn't even realize that I didn't have a single original thought up until the age of around 15, if not later, until a few months ago. I was so desperate to have friends and be liked by as many people as possible that the only things I liked were those that were popular at the time. It reached its peak around age 13 when there was not a single piece of clothing, music, book, brand, or anything that I liked, bought, or used that hadn't been suggested to me that was cool. It's that age when your family buys you clothes, but because it's not within the 10 cool brands that your peers have approved, you think you would rather die than wear it. We were all carbon copies of each other, and I didn't even question it once. If there was an alternative to conformity, I had no idea what it was. I see these things now with the Gen Alpha girls and those water bottles whose name I can't even remember. Stanley Cups, that's what they are. And even though I did grow up with social media, it was nowhere near the mammoth that it is now. It was just something you did once in a while, whereas now it's all-consuming. I don't think there's a single area of life that is untouched by social media and young girls. Peer pressure from your circle of friends is almost impossible to ignore at a young age. But now, social media is normalized into being as influential as your close friends, and that's even worse. I can't even imagine the pressure. After that phase, I remember not even knowing where to begin living authentically because I had just come out of only following what people around me were doing. I had no sense of self and the person that I wanted to be. So in my hopes of finding that, I engaged in risky peer-pressured behavior. A lot of it. The scary thing is that I had no idea how much I was giving into peer pressure until much later in life. Going to do dumb things with my peers seemed only natural, and though in some ways deep inside I knew it was a bad idea, the thought of being outcast, having FOMO, or being rejected seemed much worse than the potential consequences of whatever stupid thing we were about to do. But maybe you're one of my older gals, and you can also remember the days of being young and recognize giving into peer pressure, but thinking, well, we're way past that now. But are we? Instead of dressing a certain way or liking certain things, there is another world of peer pressure to be healthy, to invest, to get married, to stay single, to freeze your eggs, to date as much as you can, to focus on yourself and heal every single trauma you have ever encountered. And we are also not immune to social media. If you're between the ages of 20 to 40, I'm sure your feed must look something like mine, where it's just people fighting for your attention and telling you, you have to do this, you must do that. If you want to ever have a fighting chance of buying a house, you have to do this. If there's any way of you not dying from cancer, you have to do this. If you want to be able to walk well when you're 70, you have to do this starting as young as possible. It all comes back to survival instinct. Due to our evolutionary needs, we learned as a human species that we need to work in groups to achieve complex goals and thrive. As I mentioned, the teenage years are pivotal in learning how to become an adult. Researchers believe that adolescents' increased preference for socializing with their peers may be an adaptive behavior that fosters the development of social skills, supporting the adult skills they will need, and then help them get ready to live without parental protection. What are the most accepted theories as to why risky behavior is higher during this developmental stage is the disparity between the prefrontal cortex and the limbic system, which you probably have heard of. Many people say the phrase, your frontal lobe hasn't even fully developed yet, and you may be thinking, okay, and what the heck does that mean? Well, the prefrontal cortex, located around where your forehead is the part of the brain that makes executive control functions, meaning it helps someone gain control over what their response to a stimuli is. The limbic system, on the other hand, is the part of the brain that supports emotion and behavior, and it develops faster than the prefrontal cortex. Basically, it's like you're having adult feelings, but kid reactions to those feelings. Researcher Dr. BJ Casey said this about why teenagers increase in risky behavior, quote, "One reason is that other factors such as emotions and the incentives provided by environmental cues also affect risk-taking. Research suggesting that sensitivity to rewards such as money, food, or peer approval can influence behavior even when individuals are not conscious of responding to these influences," end quote. Which is exactly what I've been saying. I didn't even realize how much peer pressure I was giving into until now. The article, which this is a part of, will of course be linked in the show notes, and if you're more interested in learning about it, it's a great starting point because it is truly fascinating. Another big reason why peer pressure is so powerful is because of injunctive social norms. Bear with me. Injunctive social norms are behaviors that one is expected to follow and expect others to follow in a social context. These norms are upheld by an internalization of fear of punishment or disapproval, basically shame from others. All facets of our social lives are governed by injunctive norms and are basically the rules of society. However, like anything, they can turn sour in some situations, and they are the pressure in peer pressure. Worst case scenario, you're the only one in the group that's saying no, and it feels like it's everyone against you because no one else is speaking out, though they know that it's wrong. Enter pluralistic ignorance. Yay, more fancy terms. Now, this is important because researchers suggested that knowing about this actually helps people fight off peer pressure, so I'm not just saying this to throw around fun facts, but rather to educate and hopefully help you as well. Pluralistic ignorance is a condition in which people inaccurately think that the majority of other people have opinions that vary from their own. For example, you're at a party and a blunt is being passed around and everyone takes a hit, making you think that they're all not just okay with it, but actively want to get high. But in reality, because no one is saying anything, they're all assuming the same thing from the others, though most could be feeling the opposite way. Maybe only the person who lit it wanted to get high, but because no one spoke up, there is now this silent acceptance that passing it and taking a hit is the way it's going to go down. In other words, what you may think is an unpopular opinion might be the way everyone is already secretly thinking. So the next time you feel pressured about doing something just because everyone else is, if you speak up, you might find yourself surprised that other people may agree in being uncomfortable or not wanting to partake. And if not, then at least you have broken the cycle of silently agreeing to something that bothered you, and hopefully it will help you become more comfortable in doing so in the future. Now, it's said that the types of peer pressure are spoken peer pressure, which is straightforward. People outwardly telling you to do something, and because there is power in numbers, this can be quite intense in large social settings. Unspoken peer pressure is when no one verbally tries to influence you, however, there is still a standard set by the group to behave in a certain way, hence the party example. Direct peer pressure, when someone uses verbal or nonverbal cues to persuade you to do something. This can leave us feeling quite vulnerable to behavior-based conformity because of the discomfort in our environment. No one wants to feel like the outcast or the party pooper, so yikes, I guess we're going to give in to this now. Indirect peer pressure is less invasive, but the environment makes you feel inclined to do something. It can be used as an excuse to try something out we've always wanted to do, but wouldn't do it without that extra push. Positive peer pressure can be direct, indirect, spoken, or unspoken, and it actually yields positive results and healthier lifestyle choices. Maybe everyone in your friend circle is joining a running group, and because you don't want to feel left out, you're also going to be joining this running group. And hey, look, now you enjoy it, and you're much healthier for it. And finally, negative peer pressure. Persuasion of doing behaviors one usually wouldn't do as a way of fitting in. When you talk about pressure at a young age, a lot of adults will try to explain it in the context of doing hard drugs or alcohol. And while yes, that does happen, 90% of the time it's much more subtle. One of the worst situations in the world is being a young, naive girl who's crushing on a boy who finally gives her attention and finding yourself face to face with him saying, "Please, just do this for me," with those doe eyes that hide lies and manipulation behind them. Terrible. Though giving in to peer pressure is just a part of growing up and normal, it can help us learn more about ourselves as the limits are pushed, and they also help satiate curiosity. Now, here are some ways to deal with peer pressure. Now that we've talked about it, it's like, okay, so what do I do about it? The number one thing that you have to remember is that no is a full sentence. There doesn't need to be an explanation as to why you don't want to do something, and if someone is pressuring you to answer, they don't respect your boundaries. Speaking about boundaries, that is the next reasonable step. I've made many episodes on this topic if you want to check them out, but the gist of it is that if they're showing you their true colors, it's time to walk away. Boundaries are something you have to act upon, so if they're showing you disrespect by not only disregarding your no, but also berating you because of it, it's time to enforce those boundaries and step away. Those people don't want a friend, partner, or family member. They want an enabler. If you find yourself unsure and overwhelmed, take a step away to listen to yourself and understand what the implications are fully. Listening to your gut and standing up for yourself are difficult skills to obtain, but knowing that you are worthy of respect, love, and safety is the starting point. So try to repeat those things to yourself over and over again until you begin to understand and internalize them. Another very important step is to be kind to yourself and understand that if you're a teenager, your brain literally does not have the capacity to fully understand what you're getting yourself into sometimes, or maybe it does, but you're at odds with being able to resist the urge to join in. Your brain is wired at the time to push the limits as part of your development and seek higher rewards, and that sometimes means being risky. You'll grow out of it, literally. And if you're an adult, remember that sometimes it's hard to feel like the odd one out because there is comfort in numbers. Purposefully excluding yourself from the group takes a lot of courage, and no one is perfectly consistent in that all the time. Finally, don't pressure others. Being the person who chronically pressures others to do things opens a whole other can of worms. One of the many things that I love about being a conscious adult now is the realization that I can be who I want to be, and it's not only cool, but valid. Individualism is the alternative to conformity, and choosing who I want to be daily, regardless of what the world is screaming at me to be, is one of the greatest forms of freedom. A freedom I understand that not everyone can choose. There are still many women around the world who have to give in to peer pressure from their families, communities, or other people around them to survive. I don't take it for granted. So, with that being said, it's time for Ask Me Anything, the ending segment of the podcast where you can ask me anything. We actually now have the Girlwise website up so that you can go and ask me anything there. It is girlwisepodcast.com, or you can, of course, always send in an email to girlwisepod@gmail.com. Today's question is, how do you calm yourself down after a panic attack? Now, I've made the disclaimer already in this episode, but I am not a mental health expert by any means, and you should always speak to a mental health professional if you're struggling with this. But with that being said, one of the most popular and recommended techniques is grounding. Grounding helps you get out of your head and back to the present, which is one of the most important parts after a panic or during a panic attack. Thankfully, there are a million ways to do this. It can be as simple as doing the countdown method where you find 5 things you see, 4 things you hear, 3 things you can touch, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste, and you name them as you go along. If you don't feel like you can do this by yourself and maybe need some guidance, there are mental health apps that you can try, meditations on YouTube, hotlines you could call, or my preferred method, which is anxiety ASMR. Okay, so I understand not everyone is into ASMR. I actually used to be a bit of an ASMR hater back in the day, but now I love it. I use it all the time when I'm feeling anxious. It is my number one coping mechanism after speaking to my therapist. There are thousands of videos out there, and I think I might just make one of my own because I consume them so much. Now, these things are temporary solutions, though, and the best course of action is to get to the root of what is causing the anxiety in the first place. Bettering mental health is not easy, but it is possible, so be gentle with yourself. And wow, that marks the very first episode of season 2 for Girlwise. You guys are not ready for all of the amazing surprises and episodes and topics that we're going to cover this season on Girlwise. I am beyond excited, and I hope you guys subscribe, follow the podcast, and stick around for many, many more amazing topics to be discussed. And I will see you guys next time. Bye!